be constantly led by the Holy Spirit. But this happens when you pray. You see, we need to give ourselves to prayer because God has chosen to respond to prayer. Then when we pray, other people can be affected. Oh, if I would ask for testimonies this morning, there would be numerous of people that would say, yes, I'm saved because my mother prayed, my father prayed. I am saved because the pastor prayed or friends prayed. You see, we affect other people, not just our own spiritual life, but other people when we pray. We can pray for spiritual strength for people, those that are saved and are attacked by the devil through temptations and trials and so on. And we can pray for them. We can stand with them in prayer and thus affect their spiritual lives. Why is this? Because God has chosen to respond to prayer. And then also, we can, through our prayers, we can affect the spiritual realm, the spiritual atmosphere can be affected through our prayers. Now, I don't know, a lot of people don't believe this, but I happen to believe it, that the devil is still alive. And he is active. And he is trying to hamper God's work. I know that. And he is the prince of this atmosphere around us. Yes, the devil is fighting God's work. But we, through our prayers, we can push that enemy back. We can fight that demonic influence. Oh, if you, I'm sure you believe in the fact that there are demon-possessed people, not just somewhere on the mission field, but here in Canada, here in North America. Just yesterday, my sister called me from Texas, and she needed to talk to me about this, and we needed to pray about this. Her daughter is a teacher, a preschool teacher, and she said she can't get over it, what she experienced. She had a beautiful little girl in her class, 4 years old, and not that blonde is nicer than dark hair, but she said she had such blonde, curly hairs, and she was so pretty and so kind, this little girl, and she just loved her. And the day before yesterday, or 2 days or so before that, the marriage split up. The husband came and killed all three, mom and the two kids, and then set the house on fire. And then he escaped. One good thing, the police were right on it, and 2 days later they caught him in Florida already. Don't tell me this man isn't demon-possessed or oppressed. Who in his normal mind, a father? Boy, I tell you, I'm a father. And when my girls were small, you touched them and you stirred a lion, let me tell you. Wow! You have an enemy, let me tell you. And here, father, and my sister Marie says, you know, pray for Karen. Every time she talks about it, she cries. little pretty little girl. There is demon atmosphere that influences people all around the world. But we can affect this atmosphere. We can stand against the demon powers. Yes. As families, the head of the household, pray that your children will be protected from the influence, evil influence in schools or wherever they are. Yes. Why pray? Because God has chosen to respond to prayer. I hurry on. Second reason, why pray? Because through prayer, we discern the will of God. We discern the will of God for our lives. We discern the will of God for our congregation, for our church. We discern the will of God for our family. You see, the most important thing after salvation is to be in the will of God. I always said and still say, I haven't changed my mind yet. I keep telling people the best place for you to be, the safest place, the most enjoyable place, and the most productive place for you to be is in the center of God's will. And so after salvation, my big prayer was, God, show me your will for my life. Show me what I must do, where I should go, where I should be. And so to know the will of God is very important. You see, how do I find the will of God? Through reading the Bible. Prayerfully reading the Bible. God shows you His will in the Word of God. As you read the Bible, as you pray and read the Bible, you will find God's will there. But then you need wisdom to live in God's will. You see, and James says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. Ask God and He will give you wisdom. Wisdom is heavenly understanding. Wisdom from God is that you know what to do with the known will of God in your life. Some people pray, oh God, show me your will. They read the Bible, they find the will of God for their lives, but then that's all they do. They just drop it right there. Okay, hallelujah, I know what your will is. But you do it. There you need wisdom. Spiritual, heavenly, godly wisdom. But you only get that through prayer. James says, if you lack wisdom, pray. That's the answer. Pray. You will not receive godly wisdom for your life, for the church's life, for your family. You will not receive it unless you pray, unless you give yourself to prayer. If you lack wisdom, the Bible says, well, pray. And God will give you the wisdom so that you can live according to the will of God, so that you have the strength to do the will of God. A lot of people know what to do, but they're not doing it because they are not praying that God would empower them, that God would give them strength to live according to the will of God. I prayed for the will of God. Oh, I prayed very much, that God would show me the girl I should marry. And I'm not saying you should be like that. Don't. Because I'm queer in that sense. Because
I said, I will not go out with any girl unless I know God shows me that will be my wife. Alvin was the first one I dated. Was the first girl I kissed. After I knew she was the one for me. But if I would not have acted upon it, if I would not have asked her, would you be my wife? Nothing would have happened, right? So people may know the will of God, but they must have the strength and the courage to do the will of God, to follow up on it. I prayed, God, what do you want me to do? And God revealed to me that I will be a missionary. Wow, okay. So I got to do something about it. The first thing I decided, I'm going to go to Bible college, number one. The second, I decided I'm going to apply myself in ministry here in Canada so that I am worthy to be sent to the mission field. In those days, they only sent missionaries out that proved themselves in Canada. And so I had to do something. You see, if you know the will of God, then pray for wisdom and courage and strength to do the will of God. So why pray? So that you know the will of God for your life. You know, life will be so much better if you know you're in the center of God's will. Why pray? Pray for wisdom and strength that you can do the will of God. God speaks to young people. He reveals his will to you for your life. Have you prayed for wisdom that you can put that into action? You can do something about it? Thirdly, why pray? Because God has chosen to answer prayer, number one. If you're not saved, you won't get experience salvation until you repent and ask God to save you. Why pray? So that you may live and work in the will of God. That's when you will be fruitful, productive, happy in Jesus. You've got to pray to find wisdom. So that you can put these things into action. Thirdly, why pray? Because prayer brings us into partnership with God. And this is exciting. My, is this exciting. If we wouldn't have time constraint, I could preach on this for a whole hour because I love it so much. It just blows me away. Here is little horse. Insignificant little horse. And God says, you can be my partner. Wow! Wow! When that hit my brain, it just blew me away. Me, a partner with God? How is that possible? Now, prayer is the cry for the kingdom of God. A cry that God's glorious reign will come and may be introduced even today. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, your kingdom come. And we should pray the same way. You see, that already tells you you're a partner with God. Because God has a program for this globe of ours, for humanity. He has a program. And now he says, I want you to be a partner with me to bring this into reality, the program of God, the plan of God for his kingdom. You see, prayer places us in partnership with God. Yes, in salvation it does that. It is God's will that all should be saved. I believe it's God's will that all 10,000 citizens of Beaumont should be saved. I believe that. I started praying when we started planning this church for a tenth. And I haven't given up yet. The day will come. We're just 3 years old, but the day will come when approximately 1,000 people will say, Eaglemont Church is my church. They may not be here every Sunday. You know how it is, right? You can never get all the saints together on one Sunday. You see, and we're scattered abroad, right? And we travel, we work, and so on. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm praying the day will come when at least 1,000 people or more will say, that's my church. That's where God answered my prayer. That's where I experienced the Lord. You see, we are involved. We are partners with God to build his kingdom. His business is to fill heaven. His business is to stop as many people as possible from going to hell. Eternal damnation, eternal separation from God. That's the business of God. For God so loved the world, the people on this world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is God's business. And I can be involved. I can be a partner. You see, I want you to turn to one scripture. 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And this illustrates in a remarkable way how God is planning us to be a partner with him. If my people, the people of God, today it means you, the people that attend Eaglemont Christian Church, my people. If my people who are called by my name, that is, if you call yourself a Christian, right? A follower of Christ, will humble themselves and pray. It's not only why pray, but how do we pray? Jesus was in the temple one day, and he overheard the prayer of a religious leader, a Pharisee. And the Pharisee prayed like this. Thank you, God, that I am better than most people. Certainly better than this tax collector here beside me. Thank you, God, I fast. Thank you, God, I pay my tithe. Thank you, God, I'm so good. Oh, my. I'm sure you're impressed with me. I'm just paraphrasing a little bit now. And you know what Jesus said? God didn't even pay attention to his prayer. He said he prayed with himself. In one translation it says, I like that. He prayed with himself. God didn't even pay attention to his prayer because it wasn't a prayer of humility. But then the tax collector, the sinner, he just put his hand on his heart and he said, oh God, please, please be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, God heard that prayer. And they were only a few feet apart. Jesus said God didn't even pay attention to that prayer, but he heard that prayer immediately, and the man was saved. You see, it's how you pray. Arrogantly, or in arrogance, with a good dose of arrogance, or humility. How would that sound like in our situation? Just pretend I'm praying now, yeah? Oh God, no doubt you know Eaglemont Christian Church, the greatest church around. We have an awesome pastor, God. He's not involved in pornography. He is not greedy for money. Awesome guy. You noticed him already, right? God, we have a youth group. Wow, awesome. In 3 years, they've grown to a large number. Excellent youth pastor. You know Ryan, don't you, God? Wow, the deacons or the children's ministry. God, it's just outstanding. Man, no wonder all the children from Beaumont are flocking to Eaglemont Christian Church. That's prayer with a good dose of arrogance. And if you pray like that, you can be pretty sure God doesn't even pay attention to you. But you could pray like this. God, you're God and I'm not. Lord, you're holy, and I'd like to be holy. Help me. You're wise, and I need wisdom, God. You're the shepherd, Eaglemont Christian Church. We are the sheep of your flock. We make mistakes, God. We should have evangelized Beaumont way quicker and better. You see, you could pray in a humble way. That's what God is saying here. Listen to me again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray with humility. God is God and we are not. God is all powerful and we have no strength unless God gives it to us. But then he goes on. And seek my face. What does that mean? That's just one notch higher than just praying. Seeking God's face is you give yourselves to prayer, like we will in the next few days and weeks. We give ourselves to prayer. We consistently pray. We seek the face of God. And we don't give up We don't believe in this system. You tell God once and it's finished. You don't have to repeat. Jesus illustrated that many times in the Bible, that that's a wrong thinking. Persistence in prayer, ongoing prayer. But then he goes one step further. If they will seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore or heal the land. Now come on, Pastor, get with it. You're talking to saints. Wicked ways? We have no wicked ways. We are saints of God. Well, let me say something, yeah? And if you don't like it, you go to Pastor Marlowe and say, I don't want to hear that Doberstein one more time. Finish. Cut him off. You can do that. You have my permission. Forsake the wicked ways. What could that be? Could that be all the lies we tell? Could that be the lustful feelings we entertain and keep warm? Like one preacher once said, you can't help temptations to come just like you can't help the birds flying over your head, but you can forbid them to build a nest on your head. Temptations? Could that be the cheating? Hopefully we don't have any of those that cheat on their husbands and or wives. But maybe cheating on the income tax form that you fill out? Could that be the anger that some Christians display and the top just blows off and the steam comes out and it's not sanctified steam? Could it be? Could it be the lethargy? Could it be? Could it be that we can go weeks without reading the Bible and prayer? Could it be? You get the idea, right? If they turn from their wicked way, I guarantee you one thing, my dear brother and sister. If you pray in humility, if you humble yourself before God, the wicked ways will be dealt with. I can assure you of that. They will be dealt with. The Holy Spirit will convict you, and the Holy Spirit will give you strength to overcome them. And God says, I promise you, I'll forgive your sins if you come with humble prayer before me. And then you can be my partner in the building of God's kingdom. You can be my partner in my work in Canada. I will heal the land. Let's narrow it down. Alberta. Let's narrow it down. Edmonton. God has a plan for Edmonton, for Beaumont, for Alberta, for Canada. And you can be a partner with God. That's my heart's cry. Lord, as long as you give me breath, I want to be a partner with you. Partner with you. I know my working days are over. I can't do what I used to do, but in a little way, wherever I am, somehow, God, a partner with you to influence and promote the kingdom of God. Why pray? I just gave you three reasons. Will we remember them? Will we follow them? At the bottom on the blue page I have, a Christian can be no stronger than his prayer life. Boy, that is a truth that will not change. There are no shortcuts in being an effective Christian or to partnership with God. It still requires prayer. And my prayer is, like I said here, I pray that God will fill your heart and mine with unceasing prayer. Unceasing prayer. We can pray wherever we are. We can pray when we wake up in the morning. We can pray when we drive in the car. We can pray at work. Well, it depends what work you're doing. Sometimes you can't, but you can pray when you come home. We can pray. And let me tell you, not one minute is wasted. When you pray, you are a partner with God. And someday, maybe soon, we will stand in the presence of the Almighty God and Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the rewards will be handed out. The only reward I'm looking for, I'm praying for, is to hear the Master say, "Horst, well done, my good and faithful servant." Wow, that'll be enough reward for me. You were a partner of mine on earth, and now come into the kingdom. Why pray? Here are the reasons. Now, for the wisdom to put it into practice, James says, if you lack wisdom, pray. And God gives you graciously. Abundantly, he gives you. So I would like to pray with you together. The time is up, so we won't make an altar call, but let's make an altar call just where you are. Huh? Let's all stand. And let's pray that this prayer season in Eaglemont Christian Church would be so significant, would change our lives and change the whole spiritual atmosphere in this community, in this province, in this city. Shall we pray? Father, I pray. Oh, you know how I need wisdom. How many times I lack wisdom. And I pray, oh God, that you would give me wisdom that I could put all these things that I've spoken about into practice. God, that I, through my prayers, would influence the spiritual atmosphere, push back the attacks of Satan in our country, and be a partner with you, filling heaven, building your kingdom, saving souls. God, take all lethargy away. Take all worldliness away. Help us, O God, to be kingdom builders. In your name I pray. For your honor and glory I pray. God, we humble ourselves. We have nothing to boast about, O God. But God, help us. Help us to be more effective. Help me to be more effective, oh God. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Will you take that sheet along? Let that be a reminder in the next meetings. And prayer time. Now, I think you said there's coffee time. And even with a cup of coffee and or whatever you wish to take there, we can continue the conversation, right? About prayer. About building the kingdom of God. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. Amen.